Morning to everybody. It's great to see everyone here this morning. Over the past few weeks, you've probably been well aware that we've been looking at first few chapters in Exodus under the heading of Encountering God. But as you maybe recall, over the last few weeks when we've had communion at the beginning of the month, we've had a slightly different topic, and we're looking at gospel-shaped. So far, we have considered gospel-shaped dining, gospel-shaped peace, and today we're going to consider, very briefly, gospel-shaped goodness. Colin has shared with us a passage that we're going to be looking at from Titus. We've read verses 1 through to 11, but I want to specifically look at verses 3 to 8. But before we get on into the passage and the topic itself, I'd just like for us to consider a question. What does it mean to do good? And what does it look like? What does it mean to do good? And what does it look like? I think in today's society, when we think of the phrase do-gooders, it has a very negative connotations. And I think also when Christians are portrayed on television and in other forms of the media, they come across as a little bit wimpy, a little bit moralistic. However, as Christians, doing good should be the evidence that we're in Christ and bearing fruit of that relationship. The truth is that we should like to be doing good to others. And if we're honest, if people do good or kind act towards us, well, isn't that a good thing? I want to sort of just focus briefly on the background in Titus, chapter 3. So who was Titus? Well, he was a Gentile. He was converted through Paul's ministry. Apparently, he was an excellent worker and achieved good results in Corinth. And if we were to read at the beginning of Titus in chapter 1, Paul describes him as my true son in our common faith. So we get the idea that there's a really strong bond between them. Titus was in the island of Crete. How many of you have been to Crete before? I have lovely memories. It was where I spent my honeymoon. But it is a wonderful island, and Titus was there. And when he received the letter in it, he was tasked to appoint elders within the church so the churches would be led. Paul also encouraged Titus to teach the Cretans what is good or what is accord with sound doctrine. What is accord with sound doctrine? Again, we read that when we carry on reading the early parts of the letter. We see that in the beginning of chapter 2. In fact, as we read the whole of the letter to Titus, we see it has very practical instruction from Paul, which is continued in the passage that has been read to us this morning. In the first few verses of the passage, Paul could say continues with some very practical and strong advice for Titus. We're only going to really look at verses 3 to 8. I think if we were to consider the first couple of verses and the last few verses, they can in a sense be a whole sermon in itself. But I wanted today just to look at verses 3 to 8 and focus on this topic of gospel-shaped goodness. And as I reflected on it and as I considered some of the things we could bring out, there was four ideas that I wanted to look at this morning, and those were as follows: gratitude, humility, thanksgiving, and faith. Firstly, I want to look at it through Paul's thoughts to Titus, and then afterwards, what can we learn from that? Before we take communion this morning, what can we learn and what can we pick up from the gratitude, humility, thanksgiving, kindness, and faith? I'm going to link gratitude and humility together because I really believe, as I read those verses in 3 to 8, I just felt that they were intertwined, gratitude and humility. And when Paul writes to Titus, he just reminds him very much of where they came from. He doesn't pull his punches. Look at what he reads here. It says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hated one another. It doesn't pull his punches. This is where we've come from, Titus. This is what we were used to be like. But the great thing about it is God didn't stop there. He wasn't finished with us. He never looked at us and said, you guys are beyond it. He still loved them. And one of the great things, and Paul reminds Titus, he says, it was him that saved us. It wasn't through any good works that we'd done. It was him that saved us. And we see this in verse 5. He said, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing, rebirth, and renewal by the Spirit, whom He poured out on us graciously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That idea of gratitude and humility is worked through there. This is where we've come from, Titus, and this is what God has done for us. Not through any works that we've done ourselves, but this is what God has done for us. And you could just imagine sort of Titus getting, you know, just being really sort of, you know, he's the sort of a welling of gratitude and humility just wells up within him. Paul doesn't stop there. And again, we're moving on to sort of kindness, thanksgiving and kindness. Titus is then encouraged to stress or insist these things to the Christians that are there in Crete. Just remind them of what Paul has reminded Titus. Remind them. He says, stress or insist these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And again, Paul just sort of picks on that when we look back at the first couple of verses. It just says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. As I said, if we're looking at just those two verses, how does that then reflect for us today as we sort of like engage with our rulers and authorities? Do we show these qualities? That's maybe even a challenge for ourselves. But certainly, Paul was encouraging Titus, as I said, to devote them, you know, get the Christians there, devote themselves to doing what is good, because it's excellent and profitable for everyone. And also, it brings out an element of faith. I'm sure as Titus reflects on Paul's words and considers the change in their lives, Paul and Titus's lives, and also the change in the Cretans who have trusted in Christ, Cretans who, as we read in chapter 1, we find out that even one of their own prophets described them as liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Now, when I was in Crete, I wouldn't certainly have described the Cretans as that, but that was Paul's description. Well, that was one of the own prophets' description of the Cretans, and Paul backs it up with saying, yeah, this is true. This is what they really were like. But these liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons, they were still able to be changed by God, because nothing is impossible for God. He can and He does change lives for the better. So, what is our response? In a short while, we're going to be stopping and we're going to be celebrating communion. A reminder of what Christ has done for us. He gave His life as a sacrifice so that our sin that so easily entangles and enslaves us, can be forgiven. Our response should be similar to that of Titus's. Gratitude and humility. Sometimes I find, you know, we come in and we take communion once a month, and sometimes if we don't stop and consider it, it can be, oh yeah, there's a bread and the wine. But isn't it good just to stop and to reflect and to think, what has God done for me? What has He done for me? And surely as we stop and as we consider, that gratitude should well up. And maybe even as we consider where the words that Paul gave to Titus and where they came from, maybe we can see that in our own lives. Were we any better than Titus? Were we foolish? Were we hated and haters? And has God given up on us? Absolutely not. What does the word say? Well, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to get to a certain point. No, when we were still turned our back for us, it was then that Christ gave His life for us. And even through all of Paul's writings, we get that sort of sense of Paul's wanting just to remind the people who he's writing the letters to where he's come from, where they have come from, what Christ has done. And he says it's not about anything that we have done. It's about what Christ has done for us. And again, we have that passage in Philippians that we're probably all familiar with. But again, it's just, I think it's good just to read it and just be reminded of it once again. Your relationship with one another, having the same mind of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to their own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that surely has to have a response from us. Surely out of that gratitude and humility, surely we should have an outpouring of thankfulness or kindness. I found this quote from Tim Keller, and I thought it was sort of quite apt. It says, gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do. And sometimes it can be easy just to sort of say the words, I occasionally tell my wife that I love her. I didn't get an ah. But if that's all just what I say, if I just say to Claire, I love you, and there's no demonstration of that, she would say, well, do you really love me? There's been a pile of clothes at the side of your bed for 2 weeks. You said you would tie that, but you haven't done a thing about it. Do you really love me? If I actually physically demonstrate things by doing things for her, that's a demonstration of the words what I say. How often do we say to God, I love you? But do we actually demonstrate that by actually doing something? There was a wonderful, quote from John Wesley, and I really love that. It's just sort of real. For me, it gets the whole idea of, like, he's really grasped this about what God has done for him and the idea of, like, our response through doing good works. And he says this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, all the times you can, to all the peoples you can, as long as you ever can. An outflowing of the gratitude that he has from God. Let us do good to others, those who know Christ and those who do not. And in fact, it may well be that maybe even this week, you can even just consider something just very practically that we can do for our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, to show that good works. But not only good works, because we have good news. Sometimes it is very easy just to sort of like do random acts of kindness or do goodness. But we have good news that we can share with others. So let us share that good news. Let us not just keep it to ourselves. Let's just share that. And finally, faith. As we reflect on these verses and all that we have considered this morning, and before we partake in communion, let us remember, if Christ can transform our lives, he can transform the lives of our family, our work colleagues, and those who, if we are honest, we may describe as liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons, because nothing is impossible for God.